Today we're going to look at an instruction in God's Word for all believers. For all believers. Not just for some. We're looking at this instruction that guides believers in our walk with our Lord. God's anointed one. The one we call Jesus, the Messiah, Christ. It's written in Jeremiah chapter 6 and verse 16, "Thus says the Lord, stand in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where the good way is, and walk in it. Then you will find rest for your soul." So the prophet Jeremiah brought this message from the Lord to God's people. And how did they respond?
"Yes, let's do what God said."
No, they ignored it. They didn't want to walk in the old paths. They didn't want to walk in the path of the Lord. They had their own path laid out, and they wanted to stay on that way. The series of messages that we're in right now that the Lord has inspired through His Word is called Walk This Way, which is His way. Not my way, not your way, not anybody else's way, not some church's way. It is God's way. His way. The way of Christ. The way of the Messiah. The one we call Jesus said, "Narrow is the gate, and difficult is the way." Difficult. He said it's difficult. "Difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it." Now, he's talking about few. He's saying few in generally speaking in regards to the number of people that have ever lived and will ever live. Few find it. Now, the people on Facebook are probably not hearing me, and neither is
my... Praise the Lord. I hope you all forgive me. You know, let's pray. Heavenly Father, I just thank you, Lord. For so long, your people have been clogged with worldly junk. We've been exposed to worldly things and media sources and ungodly religious teachings that are not from you. God, please cleanse us with your Holy Spirit fired word. This is your word. Please wake us to the truth of your word, Father. Please erase all human traditions and doctrines of men that are not true to the intent of your word. Wash our hearts, Father. Save us from this perverse generation. Draw us near to you with a true heart in full assurance of faith. Move us by your Holy Spirit to love you completely and to love others as ourselves, especially in these times when we see such unrest. Lord God, please pour your Spirit upon all who are within the sound of my voice today. Open our eyes, Lord, not just our physical eyes, but the eyes of our understanding. Please give us your Holy Spirit and the desire to do your work as we see the day of our Lord's return coming. Thank you for gathering us here to praise and worship you today, and help us to attend to your word and clear any distractions, I pray. Please grant to your servant that I with all boldness may speak your word through the name of your Holy Spirit. Servant, Yeshua. The instruction that we're going to look at, is for all believers, as I said. God's people have resisted His path for too long. And I'm not accusing anybody here, okay? I want you to understand, generally speaking, God's people have refused to walk His path. His way. The one that we call Yeshua was miraculously conceived by the Holy Spirit. He was born of a virgin. How many of us can claim that? Not me. Now, when we're reborn, whenever we are reborn, it's the Holy Spirit that rebirths us. It brings us into new life. The one that we follow was full of power, and he said we would be too. At the age of 12, after the Passover, he was found to be in the temple. And this was after 3 days. His parents had taken off. They were left town thinking that he was with some other relatives coming along in the train, if you will, of people that were leaving Jerusalem. And they found him sitting in amongst the religious leaders of that time, and in that fashion of teaching that they did at that time, he was teaching them things. He was instructing them in things, and they were all amazed at what he had to say. He was asking questions, and questions was a way for him to learn and also to teach. They were astonished at his wisdom. And he told his parents that he must be about his father's business. This is why he was there. He was about his father's business. Well, who fathered him? Almighty God, through the Holy Spirit. It's written in Luke chapter 1 and verse 15 that when Elizabeth conceived in her old age, an angel told her husband that the child would be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. And when Elizabeth was visited by her cousin Mary, Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary and the babe leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth, it's written, was filled with the Holy Spirit. Filled with the Holy Spirit. Her child John became the baptizer. He was the one that prepared the way for our Lord. He was the baptizer, and he was baptizing in the Jordan River, and he told everyone, I indeed baptize you with water, but one is mightier than me who's coming, whose sandal strap I'm not worthy to loose, and he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. That's in Luke chapter 3 and verse 16. Now, as you go along there in the third chapter of Luke, you go down to verse 21 and 22, and you hear that it came to pass that Yeshua was also baptized, and while he prayed, heaven was opened, the Holy Spirit descended in bodily form like a dove upon him. And a voice came from heaven which said, You are my beloved Son, in you I am well pleased. And there we see Almighty God speaking to the Son. You are my beloved Son. In Luke chapter 4, we hear that Yeshua, being filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan, was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being tempted for 40 days. Not for one day, not for 1 hour. 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He was filled with the Holy Spirit and he was tempted by the devil. So don't think if you become filled with the Holy Spirit that you won't face temptation, because you will. Our Lord did. It's written in Isaiah chapter 11, the prophet Isaiah tells us, there shall come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. His delight is in the fear of the Lord, and he shall not judge by the sight of his eyes, nor decide by the hearing of his ears, but with righteousness he shall judge the poor, and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. He shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall slay the wicked. Now, did he kill anybody? Who were the wicked? Who was it that he came up against the most? The religious ones, the most religious ones. And how did he come against them? With the word of his mouth. In Luke chapter 4 and verse 14, it's written, Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee, and news of him went out through all the surrounding region. How did news go out? He was filled with the Spirit. He started to heal people. He was doing things in the power of the Holy Spirit. And we learn that he was filled with the Spirit of grace and power. And we're learning to follow him. We are learning to follow him each and every day. Each and every day. The Spirit of grace, the Spirit of power, the Spirit who imparts wisdom into each and every believer who asks. The Lord says, if any of you lack wisdom, to ask, and he will give you wisdom. And in the fifth chapter of Ephesians, if you'll turn there, page 1800 in the books there, the Bible's in your seats. Fifth chapter of Ephesians. Again, page 1800. Can't get my fingers to work right today. Yes, I can. We're going to read beginning at verse 14. It quotes a passage of Scripture that's not written in the canon of Scripture. Therefore, he says, "Awake, you who sleep. Arise from the dead, and Christ, Messiah, the Anointed One, will give you light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is, and do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, Yeshua, the Messiah, submitting to one another in the fear of God." And I ask that God would add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his word. I trust that he will. The passage there is sandwiched. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. My glass is not filled right now. I have water in it, and water is used often as a metaphor for the Spirit. I have water in my, but it's not filled. And so when he tells us to be filled, this is a state of being filled. Be filled. Well, why the instruction? To be filled. Is there something we can do? Is there something that we shouldn't do? Is there something that would stop that from happening? Can we somehow limit this infilling of the Holy Spirit? The passage gives us the answers that we need. Fleshly things restrict the Holy Spirit. Light cannot dwell with darkness. And what is it that's darkness? Anything God says is darkness, is darkness. It doesn't matter what we think. It doesn't matter what we believe. It doesn't matter how we want to do things. It's all about Him. And if we look at it from His perspective, His walk is different than our walk. What was the passage that I started with before I realized my mic wasn't on? Jeremiah chapter 6 and verse 16. Thus says the Lord, stand in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths where the good way is, and walk in it, and then you'll find rest for your souls. And our Lord said, what? Narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. Walk in His way. Walk in His way. Opposite of that is you're not going to be filled with the Holy Spirit. If we get caught up in anything that's contrary to His Word, we will not experience the filling of the Holy Spirit. He was filled with the Spirit. God is light, in Him's no darkness. For you were once darkness, it's written, but now you're light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. Do you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit? Walk in righteousness, truth, and goodness. He makes that clear. And you find out what's acceptable to the Lord and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. That's what's written. Rather, expose them. Expose them. And for so long, religion has gone into darkness. Instead of allowing the light of the Spirit to flow within the congregations, we've dampened the Spirit. We've taken water and thrown it on the Spirit. So there's no fire anymore. There's no life in the congregations. I want to see life in the congregation, and I know Almighty God wants to see life in the congregation. I have no doubt about that. It doesn't matter if it's this congregation or every congregation. Every single believer can be filled with the Holy Spirit, and Almighty God can rule in your life, and you can be working for Him. Be filled. Be filled. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, our Lord said. Blessed are you when you hunger and thirst for righteousness. Not religiousness, righteousness. For you'll be filled, He said. Being filled with the Spirit is opposite of being religious. It's opposite of being fleshly. It's opposite of being worldly. It's spiritual. We are whatever we're filled with, okay? If we are filled with the world, we're worldly. If we're filled with religion, we're religious. If we're filled with God's Word, Spirit-fired Word, Spirit-inspired Word, then we are filled with His Spirit. Living in a way that's opposite of God's Word is contrary to and it grieves the Holy Spirit. It's written in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 30. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. And in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 19, it tells us, it instructs us, do not quench the Spirit. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not quench the Spirit. He makes it absolutely clear that it's possible to quench the Spirit. We don't want to quench the Spirit. We want the Spirit of Almighty God to rule in His people. Everybody can live not quenching the Spirit. Live not grieving the Spirit. In Isaiah chapter 63, it's written, God's people rebelled and grieved His Holy Spirit. Now listen. They grieved the Holy Spirit, so He turned Himself against them as an enemy. How many of you want God as your enemy? Can I see a show of hands? Anybody? Do you want God as your enemy? Well, that's what happened. They grieved the Holy Spirit, and God turned against them as their enemy. Okay? Now, He fought against them, it says. This is Isaiah chapter 63 and verse 10. You can check that reference for yourself. Time doesn't permit us to flip through the Bible to every passage, okay? I'm going to quote passages, and if you really want to look them up, you can. Isaiah 63, 10 tells us His people grieved His Holy Spirit. He turned Himself against them as an enemy, and He fought against them. How many of you want to be fought against by God? Not me. I've been there. I am not going to turn against God anymore. I'm going to run right with Him. Whatever He says to do, I want to do. And I say this all the time, and I know many of you have heard me, and you might get tired of hearing me say it, but I want to do what He wants me to do. I want to say what He wants me to say. I want to be who He wants me to be. I don't want anything less. Why would I? Why would anybody? I don't want to get caught up in all these things of the world. I don't want to get caught up in the things of religion. I tell people, I'm not religious. They say, you're a pastor. I say, yeah. But I'm not religious. I don't want to be religious. I want to follow His Spirit. I want to do what He wants me to do. I want to go where He wants me to go. I want to be His 100% sold out. Let me pick up my cross. Let me follow Him every day. Let me walk His way. His way, not my way. Sometimes it's not comfortable. He says it's a difficult way. Especially when the whole world's against you. And he said they're going to be against you. That's not a recruitment rest message for Christianity today. I know that's not the way it's being spewed out there. Yeah, come to Jesus and everything's going to go your way. Well, no, that's not what he said. Remember, our Lord's disciples had received the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. We talked about this last week. We also saw where other groups of people had received the Holy Spirit. Everyone who believed received the Holy Spirit. But then we also see that believers were filled with the Spirit. Filled with the Spirit. And this is what I want to see. Spirit-filled believers. Filled. Not just marginally, not just a little bit. I want to see everybody filled with the Holy Spirit. They already had received the Holy Spirit, but now they were filled. Listen to what's written in Acts chapter 4 and verse 30. When the disciples were praying, they were filled with the Holy Spirit. They already had received the Holy Spirit, because Pentecost was past. They were filled. In Acts chapter 7, we find Stephen's message to the religious people of that time. Stephen, who later became the first martyr. After telling him God didn't dwell in temples made with hands, dare we say, religion doesn't have the answer. Oh yeah, that's what Stephen said. God doesn't dwell in temples made with hands. He said, you stiff-necked and uncircumcised in hearts and ears, you always resist the Holy Spirit as your fathers did, so do you. And there's many in religion today would tell you, oh yeah, I love God. Yeah, I know who God is. Yeah, sure. They're religious, but they're not relational. They don't have the filling of the Holy Spirit. And this is something that has to change, folks. It must. It absolutely must. If God's church is going to continue on this planet, we must be walking in the life of the Spirit. There's no other way. We will not continue in this time to go forward unless we are filled with the Spirit, because He's going to give us the discernment that we need. He's going to give us the wisdom that we need. He's going to give us the understanding that we need. He's going to give us every single aspect that He can provide, and only He can provide. Praise God. Whenever they heard these things, Acts chapter 7 and verse 54 tells us they were cut to the heart and they gnashed at him with their teeth. Anybody ever gnash their teeth at you? Growling at them. Who do you think you are? Religion has the way of salvation. No, it doesn't. Religion does not have the way of salvation. It's the relationship that we have with Almighty God through Jesus Christ, Yeshua, the Messiah, by His Holy Spirit that gives us the ability to have that relationship. We have a relationship because He made it possible for us to have a relationship. And He wants us to have that relationship. And it's a close, intimate, personal relationship. He dwells within us. He's one with us. God doesn't dwell in temples made with hands. Acts 7, 55 and 56 tells us Stephen was full of the Holy Spirit. Full? Full of the Holy Spirit. He gazed into heaven. He saw the glory of God and Yeshua standing at the right hand of God. And he said, look, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. He was full of the Holy Spirit and heaven opened up before his eyes. And what was their response? Oh, man, we better listen to this guy, right? Nah, they stoned him to death. They killed him. The way's easy, right? You have your best life now, right? I mean, everything's going to go your way, right? Because you say you believe, everything's going to be for you. No, that's not the way it works, and you got to get that straight, because as we move forward in these times, we're going to see it's not going to get easier. It might get harder. But you've got to be filled with the Spirit to be able to get through these times. That's the only way it's going to happen. There won't be another way. You must be filled with the Holy Spirit. There's no other way it's going to happen, folks. The disciples had received the Holy Spirit, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit. And that's when we see the church growing. That's when we see things changing. That's when we see the body of Christ coming alive. You know, Acts chapter 9, verse 17 relates when Ananias laid his hands on Saul, who later became Paul. He said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you came, has sent me that you may receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit." Filled with the Holy Spirit. See, Saul was very religious. He was a Pharisee. He was the son of a Pharisee. He had religion all figured out. But he wasn't filled with the Holy Spirit. And now Ananias comes, he lays hands on Saul, and he was filled with the Holy Spirit. Saul was renamed Paul, and he became the greatest evangelist ever, filled with the Holy Spirit. In Acts 13, we learn of Saul and Barnabas serving together when they encountered a sorcerer. A sorcerer. And he was trying to turn, that sorcerer was trying to turn a governor away from Christ. And in verses 9 through 12, we learn that Paul was filled with the Spirit. And he cursed the sorcerer. He cursed the sorcerer with blindness. "How dare you curse somebody, Paul? You're supposed to be religious." No. He blinded the guy. Shut him up. And not only that, the governor was astonished by this. There's no place in the Scripture that says that God won't knock somebody down who's out of line, okay? There's no place in Scripture. In fact, there are places in Scripture that show us, like Ananias and Sapphira, for example, who lied to the Holy Spirit, and they dropped dead in front of the whole congregation, and a great fear fell upon everyone. And that is written in God's Word for our admonition. It's to teach us. Line up with Him, or He could drop you dead. That's the truth of it. Now, I know that's not a recruitment message for Christianity, okay? I get it. But let me, this is God's Word. Now, anytime someone's filled with the Spirit, God's work is done. God's work is done when people are filled with the Holy Spirit. Being filled with the Holy Spirit is an instruction for today, just as it was for then, whenever these things were written. Many have barely heard of. In fact, there were some believers. They said, Did you receive the Holy Spirit? He said, "We didn't so much as even hear of the Holy Spirit." And I think there's a lot of people who have called upon the name of Christ today who haven't even learned about the Holy Spirit. And I don't know if any of you here have or haven't. All I know is that God has given me this message to deliver to this congregation and those who will be hearing it by other means, whether the recording here or on Facebook. It's time. Right now, it is time, that time is upon us, to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Filled, filled, filled with the Holy Spirit. For this reason, it's written in Ephesians chapter 3, "For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord, Yeshua, Messiah, from whom the whole family in heaven is and earth is named, that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might through His Spirit in the inner man, that Messiah may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Messiah which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God." This was Paul praying as he wrote to the Ephesian church. He wanted them to be filled with the fullness of God. I want all of you to be filled with the fullness of God. Is that selfish of me? You better believe it is. I don't want anybody to be walking less of a life than they can by being filled with the Holy Spirit. That's my selfish desire. I want you to have the fullness of God in you to do what He wants you to do. Wherever you are, whatever He has you to do. And it may not be what I'm doing. He may have something else for you to do. You know, some of us are hands, some of us are toes, some of us are fingers, some of us are whatever in the body. I'm one of the more unseemly parts, I think. God's people need to be filled with all the fullness of God. God's people need to be filled with the Spirit as it is written. I pray for you and I ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. That's written in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 9. Again, Paul writing to the people of Colossae. He says, I want you to be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. And this is my desire for all of you. The one that we follow is full of power, and He said we would be too. Most assuredly, it's written, He said, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. Now, is there any place in Scripture that's written except? Are there any exceptions provided? Is there any place where it says, well, it's going to go for a time and then it's going to stop and then nobody's going to be filled with the Spirit anymore? No, I haven't found that. In fact, he says, greater works than these he will do because I go to my Father. He said, the Spirit is going to come upon you and you're going to do just like he did. You're going to be able to touch people and heal them. You're going to be able to do all these things that he was well known for. He said so. He said so. It wasn't like somebody else said so. He said so. Look, I'm doing these things, but you're going to do them too. That's what he said. And there's no place in God's Word that says that's going to stop. Anywhere. There is nowhere that says it's going to stop. In the last days, Joel tells us he's going to pour out his Spirit upon all flesh. And those were the beginning of the last days. We touched on that last week. These are also the last days, and his Spirit is still flowing until he takes his church away. We're going to be filled with his Spirit. These signs, it's written in Mark chapter 16, will follow those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. And if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. And they will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. That's what he said. He said it. Why do we just have like this guy or that guy who's able to lay hands on people and heal? He says, if anybody is sick, have them come to the congregation and ask for the elders to pray for them. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. He was full of power. He said we would be too. Being filled with the Spirit leads us into a deeper relationship with our Creator. There is no other way, folks. You can't be in the world and expect to be close to God. You can't be buried in religion and expect to be close to God. The message of the Bible is clear. You look in what happened there. When he was on the earth, he confronted the religious people. He confronted the world. Those were the two battlefields. He confronted them. That's not where he wants his people to be. It's his church. He founded it upon himself. He said so. And if we're following him, then we should know what he said, what he taught, what he wants. We need to be filled with the Spirit. We need to tune the world out and pour his word in. We need to fellowship one with another. We need to spend more time with Spirit-filled followers and less with unbelievers. And I'm not saying the unbelievers of the world that we're evangelizing. I'm talking about hanging out with them, doing the things they do. Whatever those things are. And I'm not going to pick on anybody because now as the world starts to open up again, all of those things are going to open up again. Devote time to fasting and praying. And spend less time in self-indulgence. And again, I'm not picking on anybody. I'm going to look at the ceiling. God help me. I just know what he wants. I know. It's not in, well, I think. No, I know. As I develop my relationship with him, as I get nearer to him, he's telling me this is what he wants for his people. You can be filled with the Spirit of Almighty God. You can be renewed in the power that He provides. Be like Christ. Resist temptation. He was tempted for 40 days. He was filled with the Spirit. Be like Christ. Spend more time being strengthened in His might. Choose to serve God. Move away from anything that doesn't glorify Him. Anything that doesn't glorify Him. Folks, this is the time. It is time to walk away from everything and anything that's getting between you and Almighty God. And His Spirit will reveal it to you. You have, if in fact you are a believer, you have His Spirit. And He will tell you no. He'll warn you. You'll grieve Him if you continue in whatever it is that He says stop. Choose to serve God. Any believer of any age, and no matter what your position is in our society or any other society, you can be filled with the Spirit. It's an instruction of Scripture. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. And when you're filled, you lose inhibitions. When you're filled, you become bold in your walk with Him. I know that for certain. Now, I won't go into details because we're running short on time, but I need to tell you, folks, you can lose any inhibitions you might have about sharing your faith. You can become bold. And there's some of you in this room. I'm not going to look at you. I'm not going to call out your names, but I see it in you. I see that you've been transformed. I see that you're being renewed. I see that you are filled. I see that God is giving you what He promises all of the people who come to Christ. You're filled with the Spirit. You hunger for more of God and less of the world. You hunger for more of God and less of religion. You hunger for more of God. And that's the way it should be. You want to go. You want to do. You want to say. You want to be everything that He wants. It's all to His glory. The Holy Spirit guides us to walk His way. There's no better way. As I wrap this up, I want to remind you of what's written in John chapter 14. This is our Lord praying for His people. I will pray to the Father, and He will give you another Helper that He may abide with you forever, the Spirit of Truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees Him nor knows Him. But you know Him, for He dwells with you and will be in you. John chapter 14, verses 16 and 17. In fact, I want all of you to pray aloud with me. And it's not often that I ask the congregation to pray aloud with me, but I want you to. Heavenly Father, I've sinned. And I've fallen short of Your glory. I'm sorry. Wash me. As Your Word says, I shall be whiter than snow. I want to serve You. Please fill me with Your Holy Spirit. The Spirit of Truth. The Spirit of Life. The Spirit of Wisdom. The Spirit of Understanding. The Spirit of Counsel and Might. The Spirit of Knowledge. The Spirit of the fear of the Lord. Anoint me. Teach me concerning all things. That I may serve You all the days of my life. This I pray. And all God's people said, Amen. Now, Father, I pray that You hear and respond to our prayer, that each one within the sound of my voice would be filled with Your Spirit. And it's in the name of Your Holy Son, Yeshua, I ask. Amen. Let God rule. Let Him have control. When our Lord said, pick up your cross and follow Him, saying, die to everything else but Him. Die to everything else but Him. Sell out completely. It's time, folks. It's time. Sell out to Him. Allow Him to rule. Allow Him to reign. Allow Him to take you and use you in ways that you never could imagine. Allow Him to give you His Holy Spirit filling you completely, overwhelming you, so that nothing else matters but serving Him. Now let's pray again. Father, we thank You. We thank You for Your Word. We thank You for the infilling of Your Holy Spirit, Father. I feel Your Spirit in this room, and I trust, Lord, that You can and that You will, in fact, fill each and every soul who's willing to be filled. Not our will be done, but Yours, I pray in Christ's name. Amen. Would it be all right to receive an offering? Can I have some help? Okay. Let's pray, shall we? Father, we ask that You would bless our giving today, that we would give, Lord, not as we will, but as Your Spirit leads, that it would be sufficient to meet the needs here and beyond. We trust and we pray in Christ's name. Amen. Thank You, Father, for the tithes and the offerings have been brought forth. We ask, Lord, for Your blessing on both the gifts and the givers. We trust that You will keep us good stewards of all that You have entrusted to us. Let us do all things to Your glory, we pray in Christ's name, and all of God's people said, Amen.